many of us truly believe it. Make some noise. Put your hands together for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Don't just say it because the pastor says it or he wants you to say it. I'm not conning you into saying it. I'm saying it to encourage you. God is good. And all of the time. Amen. It's good to be here again. And I trust that, you know, you'll be blessed in the name of Jesus. I want to share the word of God with you this morning. But before we do that, I just had that our father, grandfather, our puppy, Grandpa Graham is not feeling too well. I think he's got a flu. So he's not here today, as we can see. We just want to stand up and pray for Grandpa Graham. Because we know that the word of God is powerful and alive. And God says, when we ask and we believe, we will. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to ask for God's healing hand to touch him today. I just want you to close your eyes and begin to ask God for his healing touch upon Grandpa Graham. And I think it's just in a couple of days, it's his birthday, and Grandpa will be 96. Yes. And he's still got many more years to go. He's got so much life left in him. Amen. So we want to pray that God will touch him today and minister healing. Just begin to raise your voice right now. Father, we just thank you, God. Oh, we bless your name, God. We give you glory. We thank you for your healing, Lord. We just command that healing upon your son in the name of Jesus. Father, we rebuke that flu. We rebuke, oh God, what bug is causing that. Oh God, we rebuke that right now in Jesus' name. And we just speak forth your healing. We just thank you, God. Oh, we give you glory, Jesus. Right now, we cover him with the precious blood of Jesus. Your word says, oh God, when we speak, when we pray and believe, we will receive. And that's what we're doing right now, God. We're praying for your healing touch upon Brother Graham. We thank you, Jesus. I just honor you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Father. In Jesus' name. We'll get Pastor Peter to just pray and just close that for us. Yes, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, Lord, it's your word. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, God. Amen. Amen. Yes, God. Thank you, God. Amen. Shall we just remain standing while we read the word of the Lord? If you have your Bible, someone will talk with me to the book of Philippians. I read a couple of verses. Philippians chapter number 3. You didn't say amen. Philippians 3. I read verses 12, 13, and 14. You there? Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. One thing I do, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This morning, my message is titled, Stay Focused on the Prize. Let us pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I just give you glory. As we get into your word right now, I pray you will speak to us. I make myself a vessel, Lord. I pray for your anointing upon me, Lord. I pray you will use me for your glory. Lord, you will speak through me, Father, that your children will hear you. I pray, Lord, you will anoint their ears, God, that they will receive their heart, oh God, that the words will be receptive, God. You will touch them, that Lord, today they will get a clear message from you, and your name will be glorified. We just cover this place with the blood of Jesus, and we declare this auditorium, the sanctuary, a holy place, because you are here in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Stay focused on the prize. You know, as life becomes more and more competitive today, and we can see in sport, it's getting more and more competitive, that people are willing to cheat just to get the edge. They go and they take on all kinds of banned substances. There are people who can fix matches. You know, you got the bookmakers. They use money to influence. So gambling is also influenced the sport today. And things are becoming more and more competitive. And people want to give themselves the edge. Businesses are becoming more and more competitive. They are all fighting to get that small market of customers, you and I. No wonder these days, at all times in the day, sometimes your phone rings, you get those unsolicited calls. Hello, I want to talk to you about your computer. You don't even know I have a computer. Hey, I want to talk to you about your internet plan or your gas or your telephone. They're all competing. And sometimes I feel sorry for those telemarketers, because sometimes the kind of response they get, oh man, it's so sad. It's amazing the things people put up with for money. But things are becoming more and more competitive. And as it continues like that, you've got in the main in sports, for instance, you've got two categories of people. You've got those who succeed and those who don't. And quite often, one of the key differences between those two categories of people is the word focus. Those who succeed are people who resolve the purpose in their heart to keep their eyes on the prize, to focus on the target they're aiming for. Now, it is not that people who don't have a focus, but quite often it is that they have the wrong focus. So when we're talking here about having a focus, I want you to bear in mind that we want to focus on that for which God has called us. Because if you have the wrong focus, you may be pushing hard, you may be pressing on, but you will not be making progress because the focus is not right. You know, when those guys go out there to run their 100 meters in an athletic meeting, in an Olympic Games, you can sense the tension. They go down there, and when that buzzer goes and they call them to the starting block, you can sense the tension even increasing further. You've got only 100 meters between them and a title, between them and probably a world record. And all of that, mostly, before you know it, within less than 10 seconds, it's all done, it's all over. But it's got so much hype around it because they are pressing for a prize. And those guys you see on the starting block, they have not just gone there for the first time. They've been on the starting block hundreds and hundreds of times over a period, preparing themselves because they have a focus on that finish line. And when they go down there and they sit on the starting block and it goes set, it gets to a point when you watch their heads and their eyes, it's directly at the finish line. They've caught sight of what they want. That is how winners behave. That is how people become champions. That is how people become victors and you overcome because we focus on what matters the most. Amen. You know, in those events, there are a lot of, in those kind of programs, there are a lot of different types of events. So if someone has been trained and prepared to run the 100 meters dash, the 200 meters sprint, you go to a big, massive athletics meeting in the Olympics, for instance, there are high jumps as well. You've got other events and other races. There's the 5,000 meters. There's the pole vault. There's the triple jump. There's the 400 meters and 400 meters hurdles. There's 110 meters hurdles. But if you have been preparing for 100 meters dash or 200 meters sprint, and you go end up contesting in the 5,000 meters, there will be a prize there. There will be a winning point. But you are being one of the most unlikely people to get it because you've got the wrong focus, the wrong choice. You've been preparing, but you just ended up in the wrong place. And sometimes that is what happens to us as believers. I wonder if God is to ask you this morning, where is your focus? And then compare what God has called you into. I wonder how many of us will be focusing on the right prize. That is why we have so many frustrated people around today. Because they have been trying hard. They've been working really hard and seeing very little or no result. Because they just need to adjust that focus. Amen. And another difference between these two categories of people, those who do extraordinary things, those who are able to get up from the starting block and dash towards the finish line and have a good chance of getting the first prize, people who overcome challenges and situations and circumstances in their lives, people who become victorious in battles, they are the people who, when they focus, they don't focus on the past, they focus on the future. Quite often, those who don't succeed, they focus more on the past than the future. Now, I'm not saying forget the past. In some cases, the past is important to help you focus on the future. But you don't dwell on the past. You don't focus on the past. You know, and in the future, you don't have a future hurt or thing in there. You may have a past hurt. That is what can be a barrier to people when you are trying to go forward. Because you have the wrong focus. They have a focus, but it's in the past, not in the future. It's where they have been, not what they are called into. It's the past. You might need it to help inform the future, but we don't want to make it what we're going to be. It's the past. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 25, it says, let your eyes look straight and fix your gaze directly before you. Fix your gaze directly before you. Not fix your gaze behind you into the past. Fix your gaze into the future because that is where the prize is. Hallelujah. But quite often, people make the mistake of dwelling in the past. You know, there are some people, when you give them 5 minutes of your valuable time, you will know how all terrible it's been for them in the past. I understand that. And sometimes we can empathize with people. But what I want to encourage you to do is not to dwell in that past. We all have past. Some of our past, we've got many things to celebrate about. Some of our past, we don't have much to celebrate. In fact, there's so much we can mourn about our past compared to what we can celebrate about our past. It may be good for them to be able to inform us as we move forward, but not for us to go back and keep dwelling in them. Hallelujah. The Bible says, when we are now in Christ Jesus, the old has gone and the new has come. The past is the past, but the future is ahead of you. You may have made mistakes in the past. You may have suffered loss in the past. Someone may have treated you badly in the past. People may have exploited you in the past. It's terrible. And I know because you are a covenant child of God, if those people don't repent, God will deal with them. For he says in his word, you relax because vengeance is mine. He didn't say I know how to revenge. He says vengeance is mine. That is to say to you, now when people do you wrong knowingly and don't repent of it, now they are not doing it to him. And if they don't, he will take care of them. Let it be in the past. It may help encourage or shape you, but don't dwell in that past. Because when you dwell in the past, it's like what will happen is your dwelling in the past will prevent you from seeing the opportunities of the future. Hallelujah. Paul has been through things. This was a man who persecuted the believers. And I imagine his opposition was there even while Jesus was on earth. He chased them. He plotted. He knew how to trap them. He went after them. He ensured that they were dealt with harshly. He was there to witness believers being killed. He participated. But he got to a point when he met Jesus Christ on Damascus Road, his past became past. He said, now I forget about that and I press on towards the goal. Hallelujah. We need to have the right focus on the right prize. And we need to stay focused because there will be times when our focus may be interfered with. So you don't let the past serve as a barrier for your future. Instead, let the past serve as a springboard for your future. Let the past give you enough strength to want to propel into what God has for you. That those who have said to you, nothing good will come out of you, you press on, that when they see what God is doing in your life, they will be ashamed. Those who have wanted to hurt you so that you will be miserable for the rest of your life, you press on with the joy of the Lord in you. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And let them see the joy of the Lord in you. That even when you're going through trials and challenges, you still have the joy and the peace of God. And your peace will disturb their terrible, wicked heart. Hallelujah. But if we keep focusing on that, it will hinder us moving forward. Hallelujah. I want to give you just 3 points today on how you can stay focused into the future. There are many, many things we can talk about, but I want to give you 3 so that you can remember them. Amen. The first one is to stay focused on your future. You need to filter out the distractions in both your present and your past. You need to filter out the distractions in both your present and your past, which I've just been talking about. Hallelujah. Because let me tell you, beloved, there will come times as you run this race when you will be in situations where you will be engulfed with all kinds of things in your present now and the memories of your past. And if you allow those things to just envelop you, they will prevent you from focusing onto the future. What is the goal that is set ahead of you? What is that goal? And what is holding you back from reaching that goal? Hallelujah. So we want to filter out those distractions in both your present and your past. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, familiar scriptures, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all other things will be added. That is one of the first mistakes many of us make. As we run this race, we want to seek everything. We have a focus. We are focusing on this, and we are focusing on this. And then we are focusing on this, and we are focusing on that. So we have multiple focus. Then at the same time, we want to move ahead. But Jesus, the word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And as you seek that kingdom, you will have a definite focus. And you seek his righteousness. Well, many of us, because we are focusing on the wrong thing, we may not want to focus on righteousness. We cannot keep pretending in the house of God. God knows you and I. He knows those of us who are right before him. We cannot keep just acting and impressing people. You may impress me. You may impress everyone else. You may deceive us into believing you are who you are not. But God knows who you are truly. So you keep your eyes. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The one first important thing. Seek the kingdom. So when you're seeking the kingdom, you're focused. Things will come around. Temptations will come. Distractions will come, but you're focused. As they come, you knock them off because you're focused. As they come, you kick them back because you're focused. You're focused. You're seeking the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and his holiness. Holiness. We come before him with a contrite heart. We come before him being pure in our heart. Holiness is not just me wearing a long sleeve jacket and long sleeve pants and all the time. Well, it might be a nice cool way to dress, especially in winter, but that doesn't make me holy. The holiness comes from within you. The thoughts that you think, the things that you do, especially those that people don't get to see. Some of us, our holiness and righteousness is only for 2 hours in a Sunday morning. When we are being restrained in this hall, they sing on the platform, we sing with them. Someone comes here, they talk, we enjoy, we laugh if we can, and we all go home, and there goes holiness and righteousness, and we're back on square one. That's not what God wants for you. That's a wrong focus. You've got to shift off all those things. Those temptations to do the wrong thing. Those temptations to go to the wrong place. Those temptations to touch when you ought not to touch. Those temptations that will distract you from focusing on the goal. You got to let them out. For some of us, we are so keen on pursuing stuff for ourselves to make us the only ones who stand above the pack. There's nothing wrong with that. But when we make that the focus, we cannot make seeking God's kingdom the focus as well. Because we're willing to sacrifice other people to get to where we want for our self-aggrandizement instead of advancing ourselves towards the kingdom of God. So when those things come to distract us, we let them go back. The friends we keep, the people we associate with, they can be the distractors. What do? We push them out so that we can focus on the Lord. If they're going to be an hindrance on you focusing on the kingdom of God, you need to filter them out. The memories of things where you just want to be feeling sorry for yourself all the time. And that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to feel sorry for yourself. So then you don't see the opportunities ahead. You don't get to see the manifestation of the promises of God. Because you're always there feeling sorry, having pity parties. And the terrible thing is, when you want to have those pity parties and others don't want to go along with you, you get angry with them too. You've lost the focus. Hallelujah. That will not give you the prize that you deserve to get. Amen. Some of the things we need to filter out. One, your appetite for carnal things. Let me just go to the book of Romans chapter 8, if you can with me. Romans chapter 8. Some of us, we've got unbelievable appetite for carnal things, for sinful things, for fleshly things. That is what is affecting our focus. Unless we are able to shift that and filter those things out, it will hinder your journey towards the promised prize that was set ahead of you. Romans chapter 8. And I read from verse 6 to 8. It says, the mind of sinful man is dead, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God, because their focus cannot be directed to God. In some other version, he talk about the carnally minded. He says to be carnally minded is death. So, and that is what kind of set ahead of us. And what it means to be carnally minded is for us to want to so much concentrate on everything about us, the things that our flesh wants to attract to us, and we hold on to those things till we become the center of attraction. And we cannot be the center of attraction at the same time make our focus on God. You know, some of us, we always want recognition. We always want people to praise us. Look, I believe that honor must be given to whom honor is due. But we don't go out there wanting people to recommend and praise you for every little thing you do. You know, when we serve you, I serve as pastor in the church. I don't want you to go out there and say, you know what, that Pastor John, he's the backbone of that church. If it's not for him, you know, things will fall apart. Well, the pastor may be playing a key role. He ought to play a key role. But you know what? Jesus says, I will build my church. What God is doing here, God is doing in his church, because he has promised to build his church. Whether I am here or not, God will still build his church. It's a calling. He called me. He wants to use me. I'm here to serve. And it's for a time too. If Jesus tarries, one day I will be gone. But he will still continue to build his church. I'm not going to be carnally minded. I want to think, look how many leaders I've raised. Look at what we're achieving. Look at where we're going. We've come from there. And see, under my leadership, see what we've done. No, that's not what God wants. But some of us, that's what we want. I've seen people choose to walk out of the church because a pastor won't let them do what they want to do. People have left the church because they think they've not been given the platform. You know, they want to speak and preach. It's a good opportunity too, and it's a good thing to desire, but wait for God's calling on your life. And in fact, to be honest with you, now I'm going to prayerfully wait on the Lord to ask people to preach, because I don't want someone coming with all their issues to lay hands on people in the church, because then there's a problem. Now they will come with their problems, and the leadership may be trying to manage that. But when you give them a platform and they lay hands and they transfer that problem, now you have more than one. It becomes so difficult to deal with, because there's, you know, when you lay hands on there's a spiritual principle of a transferring of anointing. So you got to be careful too who lays hands on you. People lay hands, if they don't transfer the power and the anointing of God upon your life into your life, you know what they'll be transferring? The baggages that they have. So we're going to shift the things out. Amen. The lust of your flesh is another thing we need to shift out. And also filter out condemnation from people. You know, some of us, we've lost focus because we just put our success on what people say about us. When they come and say, oh man, you are so fantastic, you're doing a great job, they speak big about you, you feel good because that's what you want. That's how you measure your progress and success. That is where you put your focus. But you don't put your focus on man. So when those same people come and they criticize and condemn you, you feel so deflated that there's like nothing left in you. A child of God. Someone whom the Bible says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Because some uncircumcised person out there make critical comments about you or condemn you based on what they say or the way they act to you, you just feel that, yes, you are worthless. You are beginning to lose focus. Now, you got to deal with that. Filter that out. You don't let your focus just depend on people's recommendation or praise of you. So therefore, when they condemn you, you feel terrible bad. You believe what they say. The Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Now, when the enemy accuses you, he doesn't come in this fearful thing with horns and stuff and accuse you. He goes through people who will let him do so. And sometimes it may be the person sitting next to you in the church. So if you just don't want to depend on what God says about you, but focus on what people say about you, you got to deal with that. You will lose focus, or you are focusing on the wrong thing. Amen. So the first one is we filter out. The second thing, you direct your focus. Now, focusing doesn't just happen. For you to keep your eyes on the prize, for you to have a right focus into the future, you need to direct your focus. You know, those of you who may have used things like binoculars and this kind of stuff, and you want to look at something, you pick it up. Someone may have looked and they've seen something from a distance and it looks so clear and nice to them. And they pass that on to you. You put it on your eyes and it looks so blurred. You can't even see it clear. Were they not focusing? Well, they were. They had a proper focus for themselves. Now that it's passed on to you, you might need to fine-tune to suit your own focus. So you will see the same thing using the same equipment, but with different adjustments. So you got to tune or direct your focus. If you don't direct your focus, you will go all over the place. There are so many things that can attract you. No wonder people just spend so many years in their lives just going around the same circle and not making any progress. They've gone around and around and around and around because they've lost focus on what matters. Hallelujah. So you need to keep your eyes on the right prize. There are many others, but you need to know what God has set ahead of you. If you don't know what God has set ahead of you, you will be going for all kinds of things that is not for you. That is why even church today, you have people who will get up and they say, yes, pastor, I want to be a worship leader. I see myself singing in the choir, and they go to the worship team and they sing and they spend time there. They are not making progress. They're not getting the joy and satisfaction. And then they start to criticize everyone else they sing with. Everyone else is singing out of part. Everyone else is singing out of a key. Everyone else is playing the wrong notes except for them. Wrong focus. Don't even know where they should be. You know, some of them will cut up and hang out. They want to do in a particular ministry when God may have called them into one ministry, but they don't even know where God has called them to. So they've got wrong focus. They've got misdirected focus, and they're spending all their energy doing the wrong thing when the calling is out there waiting for them. Focus. It may be the same thing in your career. What are you pursuing? Those of us who are going to school, you students, what are you focusing at? You know, there have been times when I've been a bit concerned. I've spoken to some people, young people, finishing high school. And I said to them, so what do you want to do? I don't know. Well, they spent 6 years in primary school. They spent another 6 years in high school. 12 years straight in a row. They've been going back and forth from classroom to classroom, open and closing books, reading, writing exams, doing assessment, submitting assignments for 12 years. They're getting to the end of their school education, don't even know what they want to do. You know what I tell you, beloved? I think it's serious. I think after that long time in school, you probably will begin to develop a desire for something. You need to begin to develop, you know, an attraction into a particular career. But if at that stage you're going to write your HSC and you don't know where you want to go, you don't know what you want to do, I think you need to take some time off and have a real retreat yourself. Maybe you will begin to ask God and say, God, I'm going to hold on to you. I'm confused right now. I don't really know what I want, but you know what you want for me. And I'm not letting you go until you make clear to me what I should be focusing on, what pathway I should be taking. It's very important. Because let me tell you, if you finish that level, you may or may not go into university or tech. And you take the wrong track, it could be many, many years down before you can come back to where you ought to be. Could be many wasted years. And every day is valuable. Because the Bible says, it is the day that the Lord has made. And God did not make a wasted day. And every day that God gives to you is a day that comes with a package of blessing with your name written all over it. You've got to receive it. But you can only receive it if you're in the right place and you're doing the right thing. So you need to have a focus. Some of us, we're just being influenced by people. Even when we make choices as to what career we want to pursue, it's because someone is pressuring us to do that. Or because someone says, oh, that's nice. You can do that. You could get good money. But yeah, you could get good pay. And that's why you're there. And you spend time preparing for that career. And just after you start, you get so frustrated. You're getting good pay, but you've got no joy. You wake up in the morning, you don't want to go to work. The focus was not right. You need to begin to direct your focus and know what you want to do. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting something this morning. I want to just take time to really talk to your heart, beloved. Because each and every one of you have a call. God has called you to something. You may not have what you think other people do. You may have had a difficult start. You may have got too many bumps on the way. You may have had disappointment after disappointment. You may not have had love from home. It could all be true. But God still has a call for you. God loved you so much that even though you were going to go through all of that, He sacrificed His only begotten Son for your sake. Because He's got a purpose for you. He's got a calling for you. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1:10, this is what it says. It says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. For if you do these things, including making your calling and election sure, you will not fall because the hand of the Lord will uphold you. Hallelujah. So we need to direct our focus. The relationship we have with people, how do that stand out? Do they see you as this upright Christian? Or do they see you as this guy who is Christian one day and unbeliever the next? What's the testimony you have? How do you direct your focus? The language you speak, the things you confess, what do they say about your focus? Hallelujah. You got to have the right focus, Peter. Redirect that if you're going down the wrong path, because God has a plan for you. And you will have to give an account to the Lord about that which to which he called you in. So if you've been wasting your time on doing other stuff, what will you say to the Lord on the day of reconciliation? Have a focus. Hallelujah. Jesus himself said, I think in John chapter 6, verse 38, he said, I have come to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus had a focus. There was a lot of things happening around Jesus. There were a lot of distractions. People were saying things. At one stage, they wanted to grab him and make him king over them. Want to make him a political head. But he had a focus. He didn't come to do what people wanted him to do. He didn't come to do what was popular to do. He didn't come to do just what he wanted to do. He says, I am doing the will of him who sent me. There was a focus. Some of us here today, when we get up, we can be influenced with all kinds of things. You go out and someone says something and you go, yay! I should have seen that all along. And you start going that direction. And you hit them. Someone says something else. Oh, yes, you're right. I should have been doing that. And you keep going. And then again, someone says something else. And it's another direction. You're all over the place because you don't have a focus. What's your primary focus? What are you doing? Some of you, when we probably should be laying foundation, preparing ourselves for what God has called us into, you want a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Because, well, your mate, they've got boyfriends too. So you want to do the same thing. And what you end up doing, you end up sinning in your body and attracting, you know, forces of darkness instead of you staying on the path of the Lord. You cannot resist that temptation to sin because you have made yourself vulnerable and your eye is not on the prize. If God has destined for you to have a partner, I want to tell you, beloved, you don't have to worry about that. God is going to bring it to pass. For that which God has purposed for you will surely come to pass. He says, even though the vision tarry, do not give up, for it shall surely come to pass. But you just have the right focus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But you go seeking other things just to you know, just for to satisfy yourself, your carnal mind, and then you put the kingdom of God last. You need to redirect that focus. Hallelujah. The third thing. So God, the first one was we filter out the distractions of both the present and the past. And that's what Jesus do in that 6:38. Jesus, with all the voices from the marketplace, he stayed focused. He didn't allow them to distract him as to what he was doing or where he was going. He stayed focused. For he says, I got to walk now. I've got to keep moving for the time cometh. For a time coming. And there's going to come a time. So if you've lost focus, you will run out of time to do what God wants you to do to get to the call where God wants you to be. The second one was you direct that focus. So you filter out, you direct that focus. And the third thing, you press on to win. You press on to win. Paul says, I've set behind me all those things, and I'm pressing on to take hold of the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward. Hallelujah. He is pressing on to win. For some of us, we are just happy to participate. We just want to participate. Oh, yes, I was there. When you should have desire to make it to the finish line. God didn't just want you to be a participant. He had destined you to reign. So your destiny sit there with God's crowning glory and his blessings. And you stand here with your destiny ahead of you. And that this thing between you and your destiny is your desire to pursue it. If you get to this point and you feel comfortable here and that's all you want to do, you have not gone to the prize. You've not got to the prize. So you've got to press on to win. Those athletes we talk about, those who compete at the high end, they didn't just want to participate. They want to win. So they give it their best. They put in the extra yard. They make the sacrifice. They cut off things that will not help them to get there. They make sure they maintain a routine in their physical exercise to develop the muscles, to develop a sound mind, to maintain a good health so that they can compete at the best and have the best chance of getting to the prize. But if they go start there living recklessly and carelessly, they may end up having injuries. They may end up putting on so much weight that fat begin to trouble them. They can't do much, you know. That's what some of us do as believers. We got off to a good start. But we've allowed all this junk to come in that is beginning to be the barrier between us and the prize. You have to press on to win. Don't just be a participant. Hallelujah. Press on to win. You have what it takes to win. You just have to focus and keep pressing. You push like a winner. You push like a champion. These are the people who don't give up at the first obstacle. You keep pushing. They don't give up because there's a second obstacle. They keep pushing. They keep pressing on because there's a prize they have to grab hold of. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So in my pursuit of that goal, I know I can do it. There may be obstacles, but God will give me the strength to go over those obstacles. There may be persecution, but he will strengthen me to withstand those. There may be barriers, but he will enable me to go across those barriers. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the same man who had the spirit of the Lord in him as you have today. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If you believe in the word, if you stand upon his word, if you hold on and not lose focus and keep pressing towards the goal. Some of us, you've been waiting on a sideline for far too long. You may have defeated yourself. You may have had this tattooed mind convincing yourself that, well, yes, I cannot do that. But I want you to know today, if you have the right focus, the right focus will help you to channel your energy, to concentrate that energy on the right spot. So you knock off all the detractors, all the things that will come to slow you down, you knock them off because you have a right focus. Press on. There are those people who go to university, for instance. You may want to pursue medicine. But there is law as well. There is theology over there. There is teaching. They're all good degrees. There is archaeology. But you are going for medicine. You have a focus. So you know what unit you need to select. You know what you need to study. You know how you need to prepare yourself. And sometimes you even work out how long it will take for you to get that degree. So you focus. But if you go in one semester, the first week you start your unit that will lead into medical science or whatever, and you think it's hard, and you move to law. And the very first law class, they start quoting those cases. It looks so complex and confusing in your heart. And I'll go try nursing. And you go there, and they start to talk about the stuff. And you talk about human anatomy, oh man, and then you're off. You've lost focus. You will spend the whole semester at university and walk out with nothing but a big fat debt. If you don't have a focus, I want to encourage you today, beloved. For some of us, the things in the past may have caused us to want to give up. May have caused us to think that, well, we can't do it. It's too hard. I'm not that good. But if you have a focus, and you focus, you may see the obstacle, but say, yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There may be an obstacle there, but that is going to count as a testimony. When Joseph was treated badly by his brothers, he was dumped into a well, he was taken out, he was sold, he had a focus. Now, he was the youngest of the brothers, but he had a focus. He didn't have the muscles and the strength that they had, but he had a focus. And he kept pressing on. And when he was sold out, he ended up into Potiphar's household. He had a focus. He served faithfully. He didn't say to them, look, I'm not going to serve this Egyptian officer. He had a focus. He was faithful. He knew that God was taking him somewhere. He wasn't sure where that is, but he knew that there's a God there, God had given him a vision. And that will come to pass. He had a focus. Now, he used the memory of his coat of many colors to propel him into that future. He had a focus. When he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, he didn't see it as an opportunity, a sweatless victory to get somebody else's wife. He refused it. He had a focus. He knew there would be consequences, but he chose to make the sacrifice because he had a focus. He was in prison, he was forgotten about, but he had a focus. And at the end of the day, when the fullness of time was come, from a prisoner in the dungeon to the high office of the prime minister, that's how God will propel you when you have a focus. Things will come in between to distract you, but stay focused, beloved. God has called you for a purpose. I want you to begin to examine your heart, your life today. 5 years from today, what will you be? Where do you want to be? What will you count as the benefit of those 5-year work journey? Wherever you sit today, ask yourself the question, what is your focus? What is your focus? What is your focus? What's the price you're walking towards? What needs to be sacrificed? What needs to be filtered out so that you can focus on the prize and run towards getting that prize? What is your focus? What legacy will you leave in the lives of the people you meet today, the people you work with today, the people you live with today? Where is your focus? Without focus, you'll be lost. Because you will follow all sorts of directions. You wouldn't know what you want. You will not be able to stand up for something. And if you cannot stand up for something, you will lie down for everything if you don't have a focus. The choice is yours. And that's why as a church, we also have a focus. We want to reach the city and beyond for the Lord. We want to preach, teach the word of God. We want people to come in and discover God's destiny for their lives. We're going out there. We're praying. We're making things happen. Because we believe God has called us for that purpose. And that's why we have 5 things we said. 5 focal points. The word. We want to preach and teach the word of God. Because the word, this is the sword of the spirit. The word of God is the word of life. The word of God leads. The word of God has power. The word of God can transform situations and circumstances. So we may put an emphasis on the word. We put an emphasis on prayer. When we pray, we know that God will hear. God will move mountains. Jesus says when we pray and believe, we will receive. So we make that a second thing. The word and prayer. We also want to worship the Lord. We want to have a relationship of worship with God. So we congregate, we worship, but we also have worship as a lifestyle. For Jesus says, they that worship me, they must worship me in spirit and in truth. And it's important for us to worship God. God can do all things, But one thing that God cannot do for himself is worship himself. So you have a fabulous opportunity to do something that will attract the unlimited blessings and favor of God by being a true worshiper. The fourth thing, we are also getting into evangelism. We want to take the gospel out here. For he says, go and make disciples. You go be witnesses to Jerusalem and all the othermost part of the earth. You go tell people that Jesus died on the cross. And we are going to do that as a church. And we want to create fellowship where we can come and have a sense of belonging, love, relationship. We have a focus. What is your focus? Let us stand up. Let's get a worship team to give us some song. Have you been staying focused on the prize? Have you been keeping your eyes on that which God called you to? Or have you been all over the place? You know, I must say, as a young man myself growing up, there have been times in my life when I've been distracted. There have been times when I was going down a pathway which was right, but I've been distracted by other things because I think in my mind that looks so good. It's even easier to get to that. And sometimes, as we walk in this kingdom, that is what the enemy will use to cause us to miss out on God's blessings. Shift our focus from what God has called us into. Remember, we all have focus, but are you focusing on the prize to which God